Dear God, we just thank you that Karen has come to lead us and continuing to worship you. May your words just be the words that we need to hear. May we respond to them and to go forth as your people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. How are you? Good. I hope you know what a gift you are. That I am always so happy when I wake up on mornings that I get to come and see you. And so thank you for the gift that you are, your friendship, and allowing me to walk with you once in a while. It is such a privilege to be here. Some of you know the story of my son, who will be 3 and a half soon. He is a miracle. Now, I know all of us are miracles in some way. Every child that is born is a miracle in some way, but my son is literally a miracle. We had a 1% chance of having him after I had cancer in 2009, and so we call him our 1% miracle. And so some days, right now, it seems a little bit cruel that at nearly 3 and a half years old, his language capacity is that of a 20-month-old. He's speech delayed. It runs in my husband's family. We're working on it, and we believe that God will heal him completely of this in time as we go through this, but it can be a really slow process. But my son does have some language, and one of the things that he regularly asks us right now is this question: what come next? What come next? Over and over again all day long. What come next? And I think that's actually a really good question for our text from Luke today. I mean, after all that had happened with Jesus, he had been born, he'd grown up, he'd walked into the Jordan River to inaugurate his ministry with John's baptism. He had gathered disciples, men who had flunked out of rabbi school, calling them to follow in his path and be covered by the dust that his feet kicked up. And he taught these men very important things, many things. In fact, he even commissioned them to do the work that he was doing, to be about what he was about. And then he had died. He had been arrested and framed and murdered. And the dream seemed like it was dead. The whirlwind hopes of a Messiah seemed to be dashed. The disciples were scattered and lost. One of them died, killed himself. Shock. Sadness, confusion, maybe some anger. What comes next? And then, just as suddenly, Jesus is back, raised from the dead, alive with proof in his hands and his side. He ate fish in front of them for extra proof. He forgives Peter for messing everything up. He meets disciples on the road to teach them who he was. Now, not much is told about those days following the resurrection, but I often wonder, what did they do? What did they say to each other? Because that time was limited. Do you think the disciples knew that? Do you think they knew that they only had about 40 days with Jesus after the resurrection? I think if they did, it would have changed the way they handled themselves. Kind of like if you and I know that we have limited time with someone, we really pour ourselves into that time frame, making sure we talk about the things that matter and do things that matter. But maybe they didn't know. Maybe they had no idea that Jesus would leave them. But it doesn't matter, because the time had come. It was here. Jesus was ready to return to his Father. And besides, the disciples were ready too. They didn't know it, but they were ready for something new. They'd had Jesus all this time. They had all his training, all the opportunities to experience and understand what he was about, and it was their time now. Still, as I read the accounts of the ascension, I can't help but think, this is a little anticlimactic, Jesus. I mean, if I were Jesus, I would stick around a lot longer. I would make sure that I visited every single one of those religious leaders that put me on trial, just because it would be hysterical to see. I would make sure that I would go visit Herod at night to watch him think he had a nightmare. I mean, you go through all the trouble of getting killed and raising to life again. It's worth more than 40 days, right? What comes next? And why? Why did Jesus leave? Why didn't he stay? I mean, he was doing a pretty good job, right? He was starting something powerful. He was just getting into the groove. He should have stayed, I think. We needed a figurehead, a pope or a guru, someone that journalists followed around, and we could hear from definitively all the time, watching him preach with his hands with the holes. Why did he go? Why did he leave? Why did he leave us? We really don't know. We really don't know why he left when he did, but what we do know is that when he left, when he ascended into heaven, the disciples came into their own ministry. They came to a place where they were learning to carry on his work. They never did it better than him, and neither will we, but that was the plan all along, to leave so that these disciples might understand the mission of God even better. He had to go so that they could grow up. So that they could grow into their calling as followers of God. So that they could grow deeper into life with God. And that's really the goal, isn't it? I mean, when you have a child, that's what you want. Your entire parenting is geared toward him or her growing up well. Are you with me on that? Give me something. Yes? No? Okay, thank you. Well, it was time. Jesus had been with them. He had taught them so much, but now they needed to learn in a new way. Like eagles that start to stir up their nest when baby eagles are needing to learn to fly, Jesus begins to do the same. Now, very often, we would prefer to not grow up because it's hard, right? It's responsibility. It's so much easier to be a child sometimes. I can imagine that if I were there, I might beg Jesus to stay, and to pull out all those miracles that keep my faith fresh, to be this big teddy bear that grants my wishes and comforts me in everything. I can imagine myself begging him to stay for that. But instead, God takes the training wheels off. In the book of Acts, we read about Jesus' ascension, and the disciples are staring up in the sky after him, long after he's gone from their sight, and the angels come along, and they look up, and they say, "Why are you looking at the sky?" And I can imagine perhaps the disciples shrugged their shoulders and looked helpless and said, "Well, what comes next?" Well, it's your time now. You see, when Jesus ascended, their relationship with him changed. But this is very important, but he didn't leave them alone, the Bible tells us. In John chapter 14, before Jesus goes to the cross, he promises them something, or someone, really. The advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit will come," he says. "I won't leave you like orphans. Because after all, when disciples lost their rabbi, that's what they were called. What comes next? Well, the Holy Spirit comes next, Jesus says. And then what comes next after that? Well, the whole reason Jesus left was so that we might be able to carry on his work and his mission. In Matthew's last chapter, which doesn't include an ascension, Jesus tells his disciples what their job is now. And it goes like this. He says, "Go. Make disciples, baptize them in my name, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you." So what comes next? Well, us. We who carry in our souls the fingerprints of God's grace. We who find our lives shaped by the words of Jesus coming to life in us. We who are opened up daily by the Holy Spirit, examined and loved into wholeness. We who are given freedom so that we might free others from the things that bind them. What comes next? You and me, the church, not a building, but a people. The church in all her glory, powered by the fires of God's Spirit. So Jesus left. It changed the way in which we relate to him. We don't get him in the flesh. It'd be so much easier if we did, wouldn't it? But we don't get him that way. But it doesn't change our faith. Instead, it solidifies our faith. It gives us something to do. It tells us to get our hands dirty in the soil of the world, cultivating with love as we listen to the heartbeat of God's Spirit. Jesus left this earth, but he left us on earth so that we might be together his body. Wherever you are, work, school, grocery store, neighborhood, breakfast table, you are his body, his continuing presence in the world. You are what comes next. So take just a moment. Think about your life right now. Reflect just for a moment on where the Spirit is nudging you. Where is the Spirit showing you things that God wants to redeem and set free? Where are you sensing the life of God growing in and through you? What is prompting you to gratitude, to prayer? What comes next? It's God's life in you, if we let him live through us. As we close out this Easter season, it went by fast, didn't it? As we close out this Easter season, Ascension is just around the corner. I want to encourage you as individuals and as a congregation, as a community, as a church, to be open to the resurrected Jesus in your heart. To be open to the ways he wants to inspire you to grow, to care for other people. To be open to the voice of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, sent to guide and to lead and to counsel and to comfort. And then to be whatever comes next to someone else who needs to see Jesus in you. Let's pray. It seems like a big responsibility, God. It's one thing for Jesus to do this stuff, but it sometimes seems overwhelming for us. And yet, God, you didn't leave us helpless. Through you, through our continued growth deeper and deeper in you, we are able to be whatever it is that you are calling us to be. In such small ways, in the little corners of the world where we live, we ask, God, that we might live with our eyes on the ascended Jesus, on the resurrected Jesus, on the Jesus who promises to return. That our lives might be so filled with the love of the Spirit that we can't help but overflow that to those that we encounter. We are clumsy. We don't do it the right way sometimes. We mess it up sometimes. But God, your grace enables us to get back on our feet together. And to continue to get our hands dirty in the soil of the world, being your body in whatever small or big ways we can. So God, inspire in us a desire to grow deeper in you and to grow closer to our neighbors so that we all might be looking for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.